Welcome, welcome, welcome on board the Random Ship for this, our 87th voyage. I am the captain on this weekly journey, Holt, and with me as always is my first mate and my brother, Alan.
Zdravo.
So for the uninitiated among you, what we do here is we take 25 to 30 minutes every single week, and we wander the waters of the weird, yes, the oceans of the obscure, the rivers of the random.
And if you make it to the end of the episode, you'll be rewarded with your weekly ship fact.
Language, Alan?
Serbo-Croatian.
Oh, I heard Croatia's beautiful.
Never been.
One of the most underrated countries in Europe.
We should go sometime.
We should. Now that the world is open again, I've been watching this YouTube series where these guys are circumnavigating the globe in 100 hours. I just wish I had that freedom of money and time to just be like, you know what? I'm just going to F around on airplanes for 100 hours and see how far I can get.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds fun, but being on airplanes isn't actually that fun unless they're like, are they private jets? Or
no, they don't have that money.
So they're just flying like coach for 100 hours? That actually sounds terrible.
I guess.
This no longer sounds like something I want to partake in.
There was a news story. It's not in our in the news segment this week because I just saw it while I was waiting for you to get into the studio. Post Malone is challenging one lucky person to a one-on-one Magic the Gathering duel.
Oh yeah, I heard he's like super into Magic the Gathering.
Winner gets $10,000.
Between him and some random if he wins he just keeps his $10,000, or do they have to pay him $10,000?
The app Whatnot, which is like, basically it's essentially like, you know, for card breakers and memorabilia sellers and stuff, so that they don't have to go on eBay and manage the payments themselves. They can stream on Whatnot, and Whatnot handles the auction portion, the payment portion, the shipping portion, all of that. So as a way to promote themselves, they've partnered with Post Malone.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I've heard that he just has all, like, the most expensive cards, which I guess you can do if you're extremely wealthy.
He's White Iverson, man.
I guess. I don't know what that means.
That was his, like, breakout song. I had two wardrobe malfunctions this week.
Oh.
Would you like to hear the one that involved little children or the one that involved food? Which one do you want to hear first?
We'll stick with food for now.
So, as you know, every day for the past like 3 years, or most days, at lunch, I make a whole red onion, a chicken sausage, and some spinach. Low-carb lunch.
A full onion.
Yeah, it's how I stay healthy. Yes. And so,
that's why your breath stinks.
Also true, and my sweat smells like onions. But I'm married, so it doesn't matter. But anyway, so
You don't have to try anymore.
Haven't had to for years. I get to work, it's about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And suddenly, I, like, put my hand on my chest, and I'm like, what is that? Is there a caterpillar in my shirt?
That'd be terrible.
What? Like, what? Is this a skin tag? What is this thing? And so,
are good options.
In my office, and my office has a big glass wall, so everyone can see me. I'm, like, trying to figure out, pulling out my shirt, what it is. So eventually, I unbutton my collared shirt.
But you're wearing an undershirt.
There's something underneath my undershirt. And I'm like, what is that? And so I have to untuck my undershirt, and there's just this sautéed red onion that's been in my chest for like 2.5 hours now.
How did you get that there?
I have no idea. My guess is I spilled while I was eating because I don't wear my... That's another quirk of me. Luckily, we live in a place... The advantage of living where we live is we live in big enough urban centers that we have stuff, like we're not isolated, but small enough that you can still get anywhere within 10 to 15 minutes. So I go home for lunch every day. And as soon as I go home, I strip right down, take off my entire suit and put on put on basketball shorts, and I stay in my undershirt so that I don't spill on my suit.
Makes sense.
Somehow, I got an onion lodged in my cleavage.
Too much sausage.
And then was not able to notice it until 2.5 hours later. And then the other one was, you may have noticed, everyone in the world, that it's blooming hot lately. So
it's a little toasty, yes.
We do have air conditioning, thank goodness, this year. But I like to shower at night, like 8 o'clock at night kind of thing. Like, as soon as we're done here, I'm going to hop in the shower, have my shower.
Too much information.
The other day, literally right after we recorded last week, I hopped in the shower, got out, and I was like, you know what? My wife is gone. She was at a conference in Las Vegas. My son's asleep. I'm just going to put
nice
on
flex.
I'm just going to put on my Calvin Kleins, lie on the couch, and watch YouTube or Brooklyn Nine-Nine or something.
Which is totally fine because you live entirely alone aside from those people, right?
Well, I mean, our parents live in my basement suite, but typically if it's after like 5:15, they're done for the night. They do not come up. Unless our dad does something to make our mom mad, they don't come up. So I go and I walk to my living room, which, as you know, has a big bay window. And I live, yes, on a, I live on a split level. So I notice there's like, I'm walking by the front door and I hear something and I look and there's like three 10-year-old boys at my door. And I'm just in my Calvins and I'm like, So I'm like, I'm not answering the door. They're probably trying to sell me something. I'm not going to jail because these kids came when I chose not to wear clothes. And so I went into the kitchen and like crouched behind the counter for like 5 whole minutes, hoping that they'd leave. And then they did. They were still there 5 minutes later. So I'm like, damn. I'm like, now I have to walk back past them to get to my bedroom to put shorts on to answer the door. And now they're, not only did they get to see the front of the Calvins, which the reason I wear Calvins are like a push-up bra for the crotch, right? So everything looks lovely. Now they get to see the backside too as I'm running, as I'm like scampering back to my room.
Why
to get
are these
dressed.
Kids just creeping in your house?
Well, so I, and it turns out it was the neighbor kids. And they, you know, remember last episode I was talking about those jubilant, stupid kids that wouldn't stop.
Oh, yes,
making
they were
noise.
Having so much fun.
Yeah, they freaking ruined my half naked time by throwing their ball over my fence into my garden. And so then I had to like get fully dressed to go outside and throw the ball back over to them. Someone at work said, well, you should just gone to the door naked. I'm like, yes, because that's not
arrested?
How you go to jail. Hello, boys. What is up? I'm on my property and you chose to come here. It's like, no.
Would you like to play the basketball?
Would you like to shoot the baskets? It was a rough week for me and my wife.
Sounds like I was more picturing just like sitting down and like crotches tearing open your pants or something.
No. I did have that. Oh, no, it was the last time I was in Medicine Hat, not when I was visiting you. I was in Medicine Hat and I was halfway to the office. I went to blow my Starbucks because it was a little hot and the lid came off. The lid came off and it spilled all over my rental car, all over my pants.
Oh, nice.
So I ended up being half an hour late for work because I had to drive all the way back, put on new pants.
Oh, was this when you showed up and you were wearing like
the weird,
some ridiculous outfit, and you tried making fun of me for wearing like jeans and sandals, and then I was like, "Do you see what he's wearing?"
It's because I didn't have
like,
any other
this
pants.
This is my morning shirt or something.
Yeah, I had no other pants, and I had a whole outfit to wear back to the airport, and then they revolved around those pants, and so all I could wear was my like
travel shirt or something.
Yeah, my like work hoodie and these really short golf shorts. Yeah,
you looked so bad. Which shouldn't come as a surprise, because I did tell you that.
Well, today, Alan, is August 3rd. Let's take a look at what happened this day in history. We start our journey in 1492. When Christopher Columbus set sail from Spain for the Americas.
Wasn't he trying to go to India?
He thought he was in India. He was actually trying to go to Asia.
India's in Asia.
But he wanted to go to the other edge of the Orient, as he called it. This was his first voyage to the Americas, and he visited present-day Bahamas, Cuba, and Haiti. What's interesting is part of his desire to do this exploration was the fact that the King of Spain at the time offered a lifetime pension to the first person not to land in the New World, but to spot land.
Oh.
And this is the first instance where Christopher Columbus, as was proven numerous times through history, but this was the first time, was a big dick. Because on October 11th at 2 a.m., Rodrigo de Triana, spotted land and alerted Columbus. Columbus, who presumably was asleep, woke up and said, I saw that hours ago, and took claim for the lifetime pension.
Yeah, seems reasonable.
I just chose not to tell anybody. I'm just like, let's see if they can see it too.
It's not a big deal.
Also, Columbus is frequently credited with being the first European person to explore the Americas, but actually, the Vikings, like the Norse people,
the
actually,
Nordic people?
They're called the Norse.
Are they?
N-O-R-S-E. People actually landed in North America 500 years before Columbus when they landed in Newfoundland.
Oh, interesting. I would have guessed somebody crossing the ice bridge.
True, but that would have been Asia.
You're right. We don't count them as discovering things.
No, I said the first European.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you weren't listening.
Never.
So Columbus got all this acclaim for discovering the Americas, blah, blah, blah. But until he died, on his deathbed, he still believed that what he had discovered was the Pacific side of Asia and not the Americas.
Really?
Yeah.
Based on nothing?
It was the 1500s. Things were weird.
I guess.
But yeah, he just didn't believe people who said, no, I don't think that was China.
I'm pretty sure it was China. Believe me.
Now we jump forward 35 years to 1527, when the first known letter from North America is sent.
Ooh, sent to where?
It was sent back to England from John Rutt while he was stationed in St. John's, Newfoundland, because that's apparently where everyone could land. Newfoundland.
That's why it's there. It's the name, Newfoundland.
And all his letter did was basically tell the people of his planned voyage southward because Canada was too cold.
Some things never change, except now where it's much too hot.
And so him and his crew sailed down to Florida, stayed in Florida for a couple months, and then went back to England. But what's funny is the only thing really known about this guy is he came here, sent that letter, and then no one really knows anything else about him.
Well, he was well known enough to be mentioned on our podcast.
Yeah, at least he's remembered for something, right? Like, he accomplished something. Now we leap forward 284 years to 1811, when Elisha Otis is born.
Ah, yes. Of the famous Otises.
Yes. Founder of the Otis Elevator Company.
Oh, really?
Yeah, see? I know you knew as soon as I was just going to say elevator. Everyone knows funny. The Otis Elevator.
Everybody, I mean, I definitely do. All of the Super 8s have Otises.
Yeah, they all have Otises. So Elisha did not invent the elevator itself, but what he did do is he invented a safety device that prevented elevators from failing or falling if the cables failed.
Thank you, Otis.
So he saved lives. Apparently, yeah. He was like a lifelong inventor, but obviously the elevator thing was really where he made his bread and butter.
I can't think of a single other Otis product.
I can't think of a single other elevator.
That's true. I don't know any of their names.
Nope.
Just Otis.
Now we move forward 48 years to 1859, and Harvard wins the first Harvard-Yale boat race.
So like a big deal?
Apparently for, I would assume for rich white people it is. It is the first ever recorded intercollegiate sporting event, so basically between two universities. And since 1859... they have raced 153 times.
Oh, please tell me Harvard's never lost. That'd be so good.
With Harvard winning 95 times, and Yale has won 58.
I mean, Yale still sucks in comparison, but it's not never lost.
Have you been to Harvard?
When would I have been to Harvard?
I've been. It is beautiful. They have some great bookstores.
I bet it's a university.
No, like old bookstores. I've really been getting into signed books. I got a new signed book that came in today. Chris Bosch's book.
Ooh, sporty.
The winner of this race annually receives the Sexton Cup.
Ooh.
Lucky boys. Now we move forward 62 years to 1921, when Major League Baseball confirms the ban of the 8 Chicago Black Sox.
I don't know what that is. I know there's Red Sox, right? And I know there's White Sox. I don't know.
So, the 8 members of the 1919 Chicago White Sox were coined the Black Sox because they were accused of taking money from the mob to throw the World Series.
Oh.
And they were also not only banned from Major League Baseball, but banned from the Hall of Fame as well. So that's why Shoeless Joe Jackson is still not in the Hall of Fame, even though to his death he denied any involvement and no one could prove that he was actually involved.
Wow, we have a lot of deathbed statements today.
Yeah. The people who were proven to have been part of the scheme actually admitted they only included his name so that they would have credibility with the mob gambler guys who were paying them. They'd be like, we could get Shoeless Joe. Shoeless Joe will be on board, even though apparently he never was.
Oh, well, good on you, Shoeless Joe.
Now we find ourselves 25 years later in 1946 when Santa Claus Land opens in Santa Claus, Indiana.
Could they not just call it like the North Pole?
Nope. It was the world's first themed amusement park. So without Santa Claus Land, there'd be no Disney.
Oh, interesting.
What's even crazier is it is still opening today, or operating today.
Well, I mean, it's Santa Claus Land.
It is now called, well, it's not called that anymore. It's called Holiday World and Splashin' Safari.
Oh, I was going to guess Six Flags.
No, it's Holiday World because it has
Santa Claus Land.
Five themed areas. The aforementioned Safari Water Park, the Christmas area, a Halloween area, a 4th of July area, and a Thanksgiving area.
Wow. Thanks. I have no idea. What I know. I'm like, what is the area, but it sounds terrible.
There's turkeys everywhere. And racism. 3 years later, Alan, in 1949, the National Basketball Association is formed.
Oh, you love that thing.
So the NBA was formed when the Basketball Association of America and the National Basketball League finalized their merger to create the NBA.
Hmm.
The NBA itself actually claims the BAA, the Basketball Association of America's, records as their own. So according to the NBA, they actually started in 1946, the same time Santa Claus Land opened, because that's when the BAA started, even though the first technical NBA season under that name was 1949.
Oh, interesting.
The NBA also, their official stance is that it was not actually a merger, but it was an expansion where it granted teams to the six NBL teams. Basically, these teams existed, and they said, you want to expand into our league instead of staying in your own? And that folded, caused the NBL to have no teams, and therefore...
collapse?
Collapse.
This was more of a hostile takeover than a merger.
You see this with quite a few of them. Look, the NHL, the only reason Edmonton and Winnipeg are in the NHL is because they were part of the original WHA.
What do you do with all this information?
Our first article this week, Alan, comes from our friends at UPI, or...
Uppy.
Crooked road lines painted on California road baffles residents.
I don't know if this is necessarily baffling.
So this took place in Hollister, California, and if you look up the article, you can see the photos. Yes, it looks like a drunk person painted the lines.
It does. Did you watch the video?
I did not. I see the photo, and I'm like, I get it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of like a stupid, but it's kind of like a horizontal roller coaster track.
Yeah, kind of, but what, like
the way it like weaves back and forth.
Apparently, it was all just lost in translation. That the contractor who was contracted to paint the lines thought that he was reading basically zigzagged, but the city just meant curved.
I don't know what word you use that is. That confuses those things, though.
I feel like maybe English wasn't a first language here, but at the same point, if you're being hired to paint lines on a road, I feel like you would know this is incorrect.
Presumably you've done it before. They said they wanted it to be not perfectly straight. Well, that can't mean curved. It must mean something else.
Let's make a maze. You and I could be given this task, and we would be like, we're reading this as zigzag. That can't be what you want, right? Right? We don't want to...
Are you sure you want zigzag?
We don't want to get our paintbrush out and start painting the road by hand, only to have to redo it.
Because that's how we do things here, by hand.
Well, I figure if we're being paid to do it.
Yeah, that's true. We don't have any of the cool We don't have any of the cool equipment.
I do love Hollister Mayor Ignacio Velasquez. I saw it this afternoon on my way home, and I thought, whoa, this is strange.
I don't think that's what we asked for.
I knew zigzag wasn't the right word to use. Basically, it comes down to the contractor. Somebody didn't read the plans correctly. It was not designed to look very odd. I hope just, not.
It was just designed to look the regular amount of odd.
Like, especially if there's plans. How did he misread the plans? Then there's what's lost in translation. I thought it was like written out instructions.
He didn't understand the diagram.
How did they draw that? Next up, Alan comes from the good folks at Sky News. Scammers arrested after live streaming fake IPL from Farmer's Field to con gamblers in Russia.
That is a mouthful.
So essentially, this was a huge, elaborate hoax where these people in India hired random people off the street.
Yeah, or farmers, or whoever they could find.
Rented a random farmer's field, got official Indian Premier League cricket uniforms, put them on people, streamed it on YouTube, and basically, I don't understand how the people made bets, though, because I assume you don't go to a YouTube stream and then click the betting link that's like, here, bet at bethere.com. Like, I assume you have your own betting site you go to that would have the... They must have just had them be like, you can only bet on these games from randomshipthepodcast@gmail.com. We take e-transfers.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't understand how this was... Like, they had a lot of, like, legit-looking equipment and stuff like that, but it literally says, crowd noise sound effects were downloaded from the internet to make the ambience appear authentic.
Yeah, because they're in a field.
I've never watched cricket. Like,
I have watched India Premier League. It's actually quite exciting.
But, like, do they just never show the crowd?
I don't remember them not showing the crowd. Like, it, I feel it, like
it seems weird to, like, specifically avoid the crowd in all the shots, but be like, ah, you hear that? There's definitely fans.
You know who looks worse in all of this? It's not the con artists. No, it's not the Russians, for once. It is the sport of cricket itself. Because you and I could rent a gym and, like, buy official, like, Golden State Warriors and Chicago Bulls uniforms and then play a game with our friends, and no one would mistake us for NBA players. Like, no one would be like, I'm betting on this. Awesome. But the Indian Premier League is, like, the number one cricket league in the world. So these are the best players. And these Russians were like, yeah, this looks legit. I don't care how good our presentation was. No one is mistaking us for, like, Zach LaVine and Steph Curry. Like, one's like, hey, there's DeMar.
I mean, people have said you look like Steph Curry, have they not?
It's true. My pastor said I look just like Steph Curry. And I think I said, I think that's because you're an old white man. I do not have the beautiful skin and features of Steph Curry, but I thank you.
They have the same hair.
We have similar hair, I will say that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they apparently knocked it out of the park.
And finally, Alan, this may be a newcomer to our In the News segment, Live Science. A tourist visiting Mount Vesuvius dropped his phone, then he fell into the volcano.
I like the very clear, you can tell it's a science site, there's a very clear order of operations. He dropped his phone, period, then he fell into the volcano.
I just put this out as a PSA. Stop going after your phones, people! One person fell into a chocolate tank. One person fell into a porta potty, got covered in poop, and then this guy fell into a freaking volcano.
Yeah, it's not worth it.
And once again, this guy fell into a volcano because he was going somewhere he shouldn't have gone and wasn't allowed to go, but snuck in, lost his volcano, and then is stupid enough.
He lost his phone. He didn't lose the volcano.
That would be insane. But it is. It is funny, though, that this guy was similar in age to that guy who got attacked by the ape or the orangutan.
Yes.
This is like a perfect melding of two stories. The poop phone lady and the orangutan attack guy. This guy was a young guy trying to be cool and get stuff for his followers and then fell in a volcano.
How do you drop your phone in a volcano? Like, I'm the kind of person
I feel like,
who,
you're too close to the edge then.
Yeah, if I'm the kind of person, if I'm, like, too close to any body of water. I'm, like, not pulling my phone out because I could, that risks me dropping it in the water. I'm not taking it out around a volcano.
You don't do it for
that's
the gram.
Crazy. That's why I have no followers.
For those of you curious, he did survive. Speaking of the gram, you can follow us at Random Ship the Podcast, where we post infrequently. But we are about to dock and end this week's journey. But before we do, remind you, check us out on that Instagram. We also used to shout out our email address, randomshippodcast@gmail.com. But apparently, someone told us the other day that we should say, slide into our DMs. So slide into our DMs in a non-perverted way. If you want to have...
Yeah, nothing creepy, please.
Not that creepy.
There's a certain threshold of creepy we're okay with.
Alan, give the people what they want. What is this week's ship fact?
This week's ship fact is... The main control center, or command center, of a ship is called the bridge. This name comes from paddle steamer boats, which are the ships that had the, like, big wheels on either side of it.
Oh, like the casino in Ozark.
Sure. I haven't seen Ozark. But the issue with these paddle boats was that if you were piloting them, you have these large wheels on either side of you that make it very difficult to actually see the sea. So they constructed a bridge across the paddle houses, which are the, like, where the, I guess, paddles live.
Yeah, and you could walk out.
That bridge deck is where the navigator would stand, and the name has stuck since then.
I like that. I don't even have anything funny to say. That solved a problem and allowed us to continue using arguably the most beautiful boats ever. I've never been on one, but I'd like to continue. I'd like to go on one.
I've never done this, but I'd like to keep doing it.
I'd like to continue not doing it. But anyway, thank you all so much for joining us.
And have a great week, everybody. What do you do with all this information?